Welcome to day 108 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're in the fifth commandment, and if you recall, for each of the commandments, the Catechism divides it up into our duties required and sins forbidden for each of the commandments. But in the fifth commandment, it's further divided. We have the duties required and the sins forbidden for inferiors against superiors or towards superiors, or that is to say, those in authority. Then we also have the sins forbidden and the duties required for those who are in authority over those who are under their authority. And then we also have the duties required and the sins forbidden of equals. Yesterday, we looked at question 127 of the Larger Catechism. What is the honor that inferiors owe to their superiors? Today, we're at question 128. What are the sins of inferiors against their superiors? That is, those who are under authority toward those who are in authority over them. So, question 128, what are the sins of inferiors against their superiors? Answer, the sins of inferiors against their superiors are all neglect of the duties required toward them that we saw yesterday in question 127, envying at, contempt of, and rebellion against their, that is, those superiors, their persons and places, in their lawful counsels, commands, and corrections, cursing, mocking, and all such refractory and scandalous carriage as proves a shame and dishonor to them and their government. Okay, let's just to review yesterday, the first phrase of question 128 is, the sins of inferiors against their superiors are all neglect of the duties required toward superiors. The proof text is Matthew 15, verses 4 through 6. God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you Pharisees say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now this is Jesus talking. He doesn't just say Moses commanded, he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. And he doesn't say Moses might have said this, but his words have been edited and redacted over thousands of years by copyists and scribes and editors, and we really don't know what he said. Jesus says God commanded this. God commanded, honor your father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Now, an argument could be made that there's no longer to be capital punishment in the New Testament, but no argument could be made that it's okay in the New Testament to curse your father and mother. So it's important for us to get a handle on the mind of God. This is what God thinks, that it's so important about respecting authority that that capital punishment is appropriate. Now, to get a grip on how things have declined in our day, we might recall, we looked at, I think yesterday, that the Bible says, rise before the hoary head, to stand up when an elder enters the room. And this was 200 years ago, honored, this custom, this commandment was honored in classrooms where students would rise when the teacher entered the room. Now, we have a link here, who counts the most important things of all, in a story, if you'll go down to the section called Good Morning, Mrs. Jones, of a teacher who was teaching years ago and then retired and then later decided to go back to teaching after she had retired for a few years, and she comments on the change in children, how when she taught decades ago, she would enter the classroom and she would say, good morning, class, and the class would all say, good morning, Mrs. Jones, and she experienced a very, very different kind of a classroom situation when she returned after she retired. It's worth looking at that link and hearing her story. This is a significant issue, this issue of authority. So that's why we continue looking at it in some detail here, as the Catechism did back in the 1640s. Here we are in the first decade of the 21st century, and these issues are human issues that haven't changed much. One of the first sins of inferiors against their superiors is the next phrase, envying at the superior and his government. Now, the verse here is interesting. Numbers 11:28. Joshua, this is Moses' number two guy, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, "My Lord Moses, forbid them." Now the context here, you have to get the context because this is an important passage. Moses was complaining about how he was in charge of leading all of Israel, the whole nation of Israel, carrying them all like little sheep into the promised land. And he said he needs some help. So the Lord put his spirit, the spirit of Moses, on some additional people. And when they started prophesying in a perhaps a location which you might not have anticipated, at least Joshua the son of Nun didn't anticipate it, he asked Moses to forbid them from exercising the authority that God had taken from Moses and put on these people, on these elders. Moses said to Joshua, "Enviest thou for my sake?" Okay, this is how the catechism says envying at authority is bad. Then Moses says, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all." So this is not necessarily, I mean it is, but it's also not a case of an inferior envying at the authority of a superior. That's what you might think when you just read the phrase in the catechism without looking at the proof text. An inferior envying at the authority that's wielded by a superior. But in this case, this is a superior who is envying at the authority wielded by inferiors. That these formerly low-level people now all of a sudden have been promoted to the level of prophet by being given some of Moses' spirit. So this is very interesting because what Moses says is that the goal is for all of God's people to have and accept, to be willing to accept authority. That is to be willing to accept the responsibilities of authority. Moses had a huge responsibility bringing Israel into the promised land, and he was complaining about this. It's a commandment, really, in this passage, for inferiors to aspire to be able to shoulder the responsibilities as Moses did. Authority is not a badge. It's not a medal. It's not a brownie point that you get. It is a responsibility. And the next sin is contempt of authority. Contempt of authority is a sin against the violation of the fifth commandment according to the catechism. Again, an interesting proof text, 1 Samuel 8. "The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me." Now let's go back here. The catechism doesn't print out the verses before verse 7, but they're important. His sons, Samuel's sons, walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and said, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make unto us a king to judge us like all the nations." Now, the sin here, according to the catechism, is contempt of authority. The elders are violating this according to the catechism, but in the passage, the elders come in the position of being defenders of authority. They're saying that Samuel's sons are bringing contempt on authority because they're not walking in his ways. So they come here as defenders of authority, defenders of godly order. They say, "Your sons are not walking in good ways. We need to buttress godly authority in the land." And so they're coming here as defenders of authority. And yet what God says and what the catechism says is that they had contempt of authority. They were rejecting God. So this is an interesting irony that we need to, I think, in all times be aware of, is the possibility of those who claim to defend godly authority are actually in contempt of authority. Isaiah 3:5, "The people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient or elderly, and the base against the honorable." The honorable person. The honorable person, obviously, is someone that should be honored. Rebellion against authority. Here's the story. The catechism only gives us the first verse. 1 Samuel 15, it says, read verses 1 to 12, but it only prints out in our edition the first verse. "It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses as though he were going to engage in some kind of armed insurrection against David." It wasn't quite that easy, because if you read the rest of the passage, what happens is it's a propaganda war. against authority. That Absalom is telling the people, you know, if I were a judge, I would do justice. And we just don't have godly authority in the land right now. But if I were made authority, I would help secure and protect godly authority. But actually, he was against godly authority. So here's another case of someone who claims to be on the side of godly authority who is actually undermining godly authority. Rebellion against their persons, that is, the human being who exercise authority, as opposed to the office or the exercise of authority. Exodus 21:15, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Physical assault. Also rebellion against the places, that is, the office or the function. 1 Samuel 10:27, the children, sons of Belial, that is, worthless individuals, said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought no presents, but he held his peace. Now this is those who opposed the king, who opposed Saul, that is, did not support him, rebelled against his position. You would think that these guys were actually right, because God had just said, and look, if you look at a few verses ahead of verse 27, which is cited here in the Catechism, you'll see that God is indicting Israel for wanting a king in the first place. These people are saying, how will this king save us? Despised this king, and yet the Westminster Assembly says that this is evidence of rebellion, and it is. The Bible says they were worthless children, sons of Belial. And yet they were opposing the king who was himself evidence of rebellion on the part of Israel. So the layers here of rebellion are really fascinating, but we don't have time to stick around for them all. We're moving on to the next phrase. We've seen rebelling against their persons, rebelling against their places, and rebelling against their lawful counsels. 1 Samuel 2:25, notwithstanding they, the sons of Eli, hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord wanted to kill them. So we can get into predestination, or I guess we've already covered that, but the point here is that they did not listen to the voice of their father when he gave lawful counsel. Also commands and corrections. Deuteronomy 21, very controversial verse, a misused verse. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he still will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him up to the elders of his city, under the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of a city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear in fear. Now atheists and infidels will take this passage and say, God commands you to kill children when they rebel against their parents. Like we're talking about a 5-year-old kid. We're talking about a 35-year-old kid who's engaged in elder abuse, as we should understand it. He's a drunkard, he's a glutton, he's not working, this is really serious disrespect of parents and of elders and of authorities. It's not just an arbitrary and whimsical killing of a 5-year-old kid who doesn't obey the command to come in for dinner or something like that. Cursing and mocking authority. Proverbs 30:11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the eagles, young eagles, shall eat it. Well, that should give you an idea of how God feels about cursing and mocking authority. And finally, all such refractory and scandalous carriage as proves a shame and dishonor to them and their government. The text is Proverbs 19:26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Matthew Henry puts it, the young man who wastes his father's substance or makes his aged mother destitute is hateful and will come to disgrace. This is truly the original hate crime. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when you go back up to that top link that we had, the story of the teacher, good morning, Mrs. Jones, this is a reproach to America. Proverbs 18:3, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy, reproach. So this issue of despising authority is a reproach on our country. It's worth considering seriously. We'll continue considering seriously the issue of authority and honoring our father and mother, honoring our superiors. When we tomorrow look at question 129, what is required of superiors? Because superiors can destroy authority by the exercise, an ungodly exercise of authority. We'll look at what is required of superiors toward their inferiors tomorrow on day number 109.